Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. Lots of big things to get into the show this morning. We're talking Vinny Jr. to Manchester United and why it's ridiculous, but actually could happen. Also, an incredibly ridiculous statement from Jason Wilcox. I mean, I think it actually epitomises the extremities of where Man United are under the Glazers and Ineos and where they should be. Also, an interesting piece from the Manchester Evening News about the next midfielder and the expectations we should have around that. Fabrizio Romano has been talking about Marcus Rashford and Carrick's excitement to bring him back into the team. Is that a bad reflection on Carrick? Is that desperate from Manchester United? We'll talk about that too. And the not too secret phone call. It wasn't even a phone call. It was the voice note. I can update you on what was said in that, if you know, you know, from last night's show. But look, let me start off by saying that this Vinicius Junior. Look, I haven't been saying Vinny, hey, Vinny, it's Vinny. I've been doing this all summer on That's Football. People are saying 2 + 2. Mark's been doing Vinny all summer as a hint. I haven't. I just like the film Goodfellas, and when I see the name Vinny, it makes me want to go, hey, Vinny! It's got nothing to do with Vinny coming to Manchester United. There's no subliminal message there. What has come out last night is, and look, it's really interesting because, there was a post last night that's gone around everywhere, basically saying that if Vinicius Jr. was, I'm going to call him Vinny Jr. from now on, if he was to leave Real Madrid and he's only got 1 year left on his contract, then Manchester United would be the most likely place that he would end up. Romain Molina, who has 700,000 followers on X, writes for the New York Times, the BBC, CNN, Guardian, basically said that United would be the only club that could financially assume a transfer for Vinicius Jr. this summer. The signing bonus, the transfer amount, the salary and the commissions are all key. Real Madrid has a clear stance, renewal or sale. Now, a lot of people are saying absolute nonsense, but I want to, before I give you my opinion on this, I want to just throw a few things at you. He's out of contract in a year's time. Madrid need to renew or sell. Absolutely. You know, this is not a guy with 4 years left on his contract. He has to renew or be sold by Real Madrid, or he walks for free next summer, which Real Madrid don't want. Real Madrid also need to fund a deal for Elise if that's what they're going to push for. On top of that as well, the player is not settled at Madrid. He's not sure about signing for Madrid and committing for the long future, especially with the changes that are going on. So look, there is potential for that there. It's funny, and I will reveal this. On the voice note I had last night talking about the midfield, there was a bit of back and forth, and I hadn't even seen this about Vinicius Jr., and there was a comment about Vinicius Jr. saying that, look, you know, would United be looking at that? So look, it's not the first time I've heard about Vinny and Manchester United. Manchester United should be signing players like this. For the younger generation, we nearly bought Ronaldinho 25 years ago. We nearly got him. From PSG to Man United, we nearly got him. And at the last minute, he went to Barcelona. So what I would say before I give you my opinion is that there's a lot of people online and in this chat, quite rightly, I respect it, saying this is never going to happen. It's nonsense, right? And I don't necessarily disagree with you. I'll give you my opinion in a minute. But hold on a minute. This is not going to happen. This is ridiculous. This is total nonsense. Is that not evidence of the drop-off of this football club? 25 years ago, we very nearly got Ronaldinho. 25 years later, you're telling me it's ridiculous that we would get Vinicius Jr. Is that not evidence of the sustained drop-off under the Glazers of Manchester United? We absolutely should be doing deals like this. We absolutely should be all over deals like this. And I think that's why, for some fans of a certain age like myself, we look at the erosion of the club. We look at the knocking down of Old Trafford. We look at season ticket holders having their tickets taken off them. We look at the increase in ticket prices for nothing. And we look at stories like this and accept, you know, it's a fantasy. But that's the decline of Manchester United under the Glazers. They've lowered the expectations so much, they don't even need to deny stories like this because you will do it for them. You will sit there in this chat or online and say, ridiculous, it's never going to happen. Why have we become that as a fan base? Why are we now doing the work for them? Why are we actually saying that's ridiculous, what a load of shit? And these are the signings we should be doing. This is exactly, I mean, look, if he leaves, where will he go then? PSG? Manchester City? Arsenal? Not Manchester United. I mean, what have we become as a football club that we're not looking at those sort of deals anymore? And I'll tell you what, you can be labelled negative. I get it all the time. If Man United went and bought Vinicius Junior this summer, that's the sort of deal that I don't care how many shirt sales you do. I don't care how many season tickets you sell. I don't care how many people say, oh, it's PR. That's the sort of deal where I stand up and applaud the club and go, well, I think you're a bunch of knobheads, but I have no issues with that at all. I think that is the grandstand signing type that Manchester United should be making. And you may be complete and utter cretins who are going to knock Old Trafford down and have, you know, put us into debt. But that's exactly the sort of signing. And yes, it is a shirt seller. And yes, it does sell season tickets. And yes, it suddenly makes Man United's profile go through the roof. You know, as a worldwide club, we go through the roof with a signing like that. I don't care about the business angle. From a footballing point of view, it is incredibly exciting and it's exactly the sort of deal we should be looking to do. But we all know we're not going to do it. And we all know we're not going to do it because the wage is too big for us. So Jim Radcliffe is a tight arse and so are the Glazers. And this is not the plan for Manchester United. We don't want to be Real Madrid or PSG. We want to be Everton or, you know, Crystal Palace. We don't want to do deals like this. We want to sign the next Vinny J. Yeah, because that works. I mean, I bet if you went around every club in the Premier League and said, are you looking for the next Vinny J? They'd all say yes. I mean, it's incredible to me that that's actually our thing. So look, I disagree with this story that Man United are the only club that could do this deal. I think Arsenal can do it. I think Man City can do it. I think PSG can do it. I even think Bayern Munich might be able to find a way of doing it. So I don't think we're the only club that could do this. In fact, I don't think we are the club that can do it. I don't think we can afford it. I don't think we can afford the wages. The wages are topping out at about £400,000-£500,000 a week. I would pay it. I would pay it. And I think this is a great example again. I don't mind paying £500,000 a week for a player like that. I don't mind paying £500,000 a week for Erling Haaland. There are four or five players in this world that I do not mind paying what are perceived as incredible wages because you will make it back tenfold for their ability on the pitch and also what they bring off the pitch. I don't mind doing it. Man United won't do it. They won't. They are not, we're not about that life anymore. We're not about that. We're not that club anymore. But I think it's sad. I think it's really sad because there is a player there that is gettable. And we are in a position where we could make a play because we're in the Champions League and we're Manchester United and Manchester United's name still holds sway. You know, you speak to Vinny J, you speak to Elise, you speak to these players. They know who Manchester United are. We are still a big name. But we don't have the pull. We don't have the financial pull. We don't have the owners. We won't be able to do a deal like this. I could literally sit here and tell you we are not going to do this deal 100%. Because we are not about that life anymore. We're just not about being that ambitious. We're not about bringing players in like that that excite this amazing football club. So we won't do it. Do I think it's far-fetched? Only because of our criteria. I don't think it's far-fetched at all. I don't think he's happy at Madrid. I don't think it's necessarily nailed on that he wants to stay. I don't think it's nailed on that Real Madrid want to give him what he wants. I think there's an opportunity there. But I think what will probably happen is he will run his contract down and he will look to do that because there'll be a lot of money made for him to do that. He's only just turned 25, by the way. I mean, this is not a player that's 28. He's only just turned 25. I would be all over this. Absolutely all over it. But, you know, I don't see it happening. And look, I think many of you are like me. If Man United went and bought Vinicius Junior, I think this would be the most symbolic Manchester United signing. One of the biggest of my life, to be honest. I mean, we have made the occasional big signing, but this would be statement signing extraordinaire. But we won't do it. We won't do it. And, you know, if I was Sir Jim Radcliffe or Joel Glazer, I'd be sat there listening to stuff like this and going, we make this signing and we live off it. under no, we alleviate every negativity around us for the next 24 months. If we sign Vinicius Jr., they'll leave us alone for 2 years. They won't care about the stadium. They won't care about the ticket prices. They won't care about the debt. They will praise us for 2 years for doing this deal, because we will absolutely rock their world. They won't expect it. They'll absolutely love the signing. It's exactly what you should deliver for your fans, but we're not high on the agenda of our owners. So look, I do think it's possible. I do think it's possible, but do I think it's going to happen? Absolutely not. And on the player, by the way, I think it'd be perfect for Man United. I think we saw in the World Cup what a great player he is. I think at Real Madrid, the Mbappe signing has impacted a lot of people, including Vinny and Jude Bellingham and others. I think before Mbappe went in there, he was, you know, like Jude Bellingham, looked untouchable. I think in a Man United side, in a Premier League, playing off that left-hand side, he'd destroy it. So, and also, you know, we'd be the most attractive team in Europe. I think we would be, well, obviously PSG and Real Madrid, Barcelona are still going to get a lot of hype. But we'd be the number one team in the number one attraction in the Premier League by a very, very long way. And I don't want to talk about commerciality, but fucking hell, you put Vinicius Jr. in a Manchester United shirt. Imagine the money they would make as well. So, I you know what? It's the sort, the thing that bothers me is, and I'm going to read you Jason Wilcock's statement next, because I think that whilst we've got some good other transfer stuff, I think this just contrasts with the bullshit PR that we get now, because there is Vinicius Jr. available there. And, you know, our fan base does the Glazers work. Oh, it's ridiculous. What a load of shit. Move on to something more realistic. Well, no, hold on a minute. Why is it unrealistic? Because we've been indoctrinated into this low standard lack of ambition bullshit where you cheerlead for them. They don't even get criticised for not doing this type of deal anymore. Yet 25 years ago, we were trying to do it. But this is what Jason Wilcox has had to say. And look, I think the contrast of Vinicius Jr. being available and a player that United should be trying to get to what Jason Wilcox calls success is exactly why we fail. So this is a direct message from Jason Wilcox that's come out overnight. Last season, I wrote about the sense of responsibility to help this great club back to the top. A year on, we can be proud of the progress we've made towards our ultimate goals. We've taken great strides forward and can be confident that we have the right structures and processes in place to achieve regular and sustained success in the future. Okay, first point. We've made great strides this season. No, we haven't. You had a manager at the start of last season and spent £300 million on them, and then you sacked them in January. That's not progress, mate. That's catastrophic. What then happened is you couldn't make your mind up between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Carrick. You chose Carrick and you got lucky. And Carrick saved your bacon. It's got nothing to do with your strategy, pal. You can't look back at a year ago and go, a year ago I said this and here we are. Mate, it's like finding yourself out of a maze, blindfolded. You've found your way out, very lucky, but you've got lots of scrapes and cuts. So don't try and talk to us about sustained success and a plan. You know, you're increasing ticket prices. You're fucking over season ticket holders. You've been here for 2 years. You took us out of Europe. You've scammed us back into Europe with a bit of luck. You've wasted about £600 million. You've sacked two managers. You sacked a director of football. It's chaos, mate. It's chaos. And, you know, it is great that we're in the Champions League, but I don't think you get a lot of credit for it. You've ignored two January transfer windows. The manager that you're now totally beholden to because he actually got you into Champions League, you've not delivered on the window he wanted. I'm not opposed to Tielemans and Santos, but they're not the players that Carrick wanted as A, B or C. So to sit there and pontificate about, oh, we're on track, bog off. He said that Michael's done an excellent job. Absolutely. Thoroughly earned his opportunity. The results speak for themselves, with United picking up the highest points total in the Premier League since return to the club. Yeah, but you couldn't have foreseen that. That's Carrick. It's not you. He said the hard work continues behind the scenes to prepare the first team squad for next season, which you haven't done. We can all be proud of the winning culture that is developing at Carrington as we continue to build a talented and determined group of players ready to compete across all four competitions. Yeah, it's so talented and determined that nobody outside of Carrington wants to buy any of our players. So we're building such an amazing group of players that, unlike Spurs, Newcastle, Man City, Arsenal, literally nobody wants to come in and take our peripheral players. And I think that's a gauge of how well you're doing as a football club. Because if you've got such a talented and great squad, people want to buy your bench players. Nobody wants to go anywhere near ours. So you're failing there as well.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
He says, you can sense the anticipation across the club for another exciting season. I hope you're all looking forward to the return of special European nights for our men's team at Old Trafford. Well, I am excited about it, but I'm not excited about what you're delivering for Carrick next season, mate. I think we've lost probably one of our best players in Casemiro. I'm not 100% convinced that you've dealt with that, even though you had 12 months to plan for it. Where's the left back? Where's everything else? Where's the sales? On behalf of everyone at the club, I'm grateful for the opportunity to directly thank you for unwavering support. Well, mate, it's not that hard. You're the director of football. This is probably only the second statement we've had from you in 12 months. The opportunity to directly thank us, you could do it once a week. You could literally do an interview whenever you bloody well like. You're the director of football. The importance of which certainly does not go unnoticed. Also, mate, you don't have unwavering support. People aren't out here cheering for Jason Wilcox. You don't have unwavering support at all. I would say if we ran a poll, 75% would sack you in the next minute. So you don't have unwavering support at all. You're not rated. So ultimately, we remain hugely ambitious and our burning desire for every Man United team is to compete for the biggest honours, and that continues to drive us forward. Mate, honestly, look, fair play. It's a statement, but I think it's got more holes than a unicorn's crash helmet. I think it's ridiculous. I think he lives in a different world. Apparently, he's got unwavering support. Apparently, we've made progress from last season because of the things they've done. And apparently, we should all be excited about the season ahead as they work hard on the summer transfer window. Michael Carrick deserves a lot of credit. I didn't want him as the manager, but he deserves a lot of credit. He basically got the interim job, took us into Europe. He deserves the credit for that. Wilcox deserves zero credit. Wilcox's plan a year ago was to go with Amrim, give him a few hundred million pounds. That fell apart. Then he didn't know which interim to go for. He actually ran interviews. He went with Carrick. He got lucky. Didn't give him any players in January. Carrick got third place. And here we are in a summer transfer window that's been pathetic, to be honest. In relation to the plans we had, it's been pathetic. I think we've rescued it with Santos and Tielemans to a certain extent, although we'll have to wait and see to what extent. But the summer transfer window for what Carrick actually deserved isn't anywhere near the level that it should have been. And that's proved by the transfer activity of Tottenham and Man City and other clubs that are doing better things than us because they're being more ambitious. And also, I do think it's a very, very big thing for him to say, we have a really talented squad. Well, if it's so talented, why can't we sell anybody? Because I tell you what, people are queuing up to buy Man City players. People are queuing up to buy Arsenal players. People are even queuing up to buy Spurs players who finished fourth from bottom. How is a team that finished fourth from bottom selling players for 40, 50 million pounds and a team that finished third can't sell anybody? So I think Wilcox has done what he normally does. When there's a bit of positivity, he comes out of his cave. When there's a new signing, he's there to do a statement. And this week he's there to do a big statement because we've signed two players. When the going gets tough, Jason hides in his cave and he ain't Batman, he's Prattman. So look, he deserves scrutiny. And if you want praise, go out and buy someone like Vinicius Jr. If you want praise, go and show us some ambition. But I'm worried for Carrick next season. I mean, Carrick for me gets no criticism at all. I'll criticise him next season if the football's crap. And I did last season, but he's got a free pass. He got us into Champions League. The summer's nothing to do with him. I'll give Carrick credit. I'll listen to what Carrick's got to say and I won't scrutinise it. But Wilcox, mate, you're trying to be John Terry, aren't you, when they won the Champions League? You're putting your full kit on and pretending you're part of the team. I think you're part of the problem, to be honest with you. But look, I think you can take that Jason Wilcox statement and go, we're not actually anywhere near where we need to be. And then you can look at the Vinicius Jr. story and go, that's what we should be doing. And instead, we've got a director of football trying to make out we're doing really well. We can't sell players. We only got Champions League football because of Carrick. You presided over a shower of shit last season. You know, you did. You cost us so much money. And then he comes out there. I mean, it's hilarious, really, how he can come out there and say we're making progress. It's amazing how you can polish a turd, actually. You know, when you think about it, it's actually quite frustrating. He sits there saying, this time last season, I said we were going to make progress. I'd sack him on the spot if I was Sir Jim. I'd be like, you cheeky twat. So you said last season we were going to make progress. And then a year later, you're claiming progress. Hold on a minute. Let's have a look at where we were last season. £300 million spent on Amorim. 4 months later, you're sacking Amorim at a cost, a very big cost to me. You land, luckily, on Carrick, who gets your Champions League football, and then you want to call that progress. Mate, you've just cost us tens of millions of pounds because of your own lack of judgment. You land on an interim who fortunately has managed to get results out of a crap team, and then you sit there and claim responsibility and talk about being on the right path. I don't think there's anything to suggest we're on the right path. What if Carrick's style of football only worked one game a week? What if we start playing two games a week and this all comes crashing down? Is that progress? No. I think there's a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen next season. Carrick did really well one game a week playing counter-attacking football. What if that doesn't work next year? The summer transfer window does not fill us with confidence. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I scrutinise Wilcox. I scrutinise it. I know some people won't agree with me, but I think there's enough reasons to scrutinise it. Credit to Carrick, but not for that. I want to get into some of your comments, but just another thing. This was in the Manchester Evening News this morning. So basically, let me just tell you, last night I was talking away and people were talking about the midfield and I had a theory that it will be Kone. I'm not convinced about the secret midfielder. I think it will be Kone because we've held talks and I think we'll wait until after the World Cup. That's my theory. I had a voice note from a major source this summer and people were like, put it on mute and just play it. I didn't do that. I waited until after the show and then I listened to it. The update is basically that there is no green light on the reveal for this second midfielder at the moment. But when we get it, we will get it. And then we were talking back and forth a bit about other players and left backs and Vinicius Junior. So there's nothing to necessarily bring you on that. But the Manchester Evening News have said this morning. Man United plan to sign a third midfielder this summer, despite completing an $85 million double deal for Santos and Tielemans. They always intended to bring in three. However, they are not chasing a marquee name. They walked away from Anderson and Mateus Fernandes because of that, and Tchouameni is now staying at Real Madrid. Any further midfield addition is likely to be in the same modest price range as Tielemans and Santos, rather than a big splash. United also want to strengthen the left side and add another forward, so big spending on midfield isn't guaranteed. They do like Alex Scott, but view the price as a non-starter. So, prohibitive, sorry. So, that third midfield signing is not going to be marquee. Which is a word that's been floating around United's transfer window like a ship that won't flush all summer. And it's not a word that's been made up by fans. I've heard certain journalists mention marquee. I think Romano certainly has mentioned it, or maybe it was Ornstein, but one of the two used the word marquee 2 weeks ago. So it doesn't sound like we're going to buy a marquee midfielder. I think that's a bad thing in the sense that it doesn't show ambition that we really wanted. But the flip side is that still makes Kone very viable because he's available for less than 50 million quid. So Kone is still very much on the cards. It's just whether you're happy with the midfield of Kone, Tielemans and Santos, which I would say lacks a marquee signing. I don't mind Kone. I don't mind Tielemans. And I'm a bit underwhelmed by Santos, but let's see how he does today and over the next few weeks. But I do think when you're replacing a marquee player like Casemiro, you replace like for like. It shouldn't be seen as an opportunity to save money. And I think the Casemiro departure has been seen as a chance to save money, when I think we should have, we may regret not replacing him with a Tonali or an Anderson or, you know, a marquee player. So look, I think all roads at the moment probably point towards Kone. He will fit within our wage budget. He will fit within our price structure. And he wants to come to Manchester United. So I think that if United are only going to spend another £50 million on the midfield, which would put them well under the 150 they said they were going to spend. And I've got to be honest, when that story came out that we were only going to spend £150 million on the midfield, I did struggle to see how we were going to buy three midfielders for under 150 million quid, especially when we were being linked at, you know, Fernandez for 80, Scott for 80. But we've somehow, if we sign Kone for 50, we've somehow managed that, because the total will be 135 for Tielemans, Kone and Santos. You get what you pay for. There's an element of risk there, but it is starting to look a lot like that. I think what you can say is that any player that's over £60 million is now off the list. So you can forget Camavinga, you can forget Scott, you can forget Enmecha, you can forget Belaba. None of these players are going to fall into the budget of what we're looking to do now. So, yeah, look, I think all roads lead to Kone at the moment, unless there's a real shock player that's available for £50 million or below. I think that's where we're sort of heading. So, look, interesting. We'll have to wait and see. But I think the next few days and maybe next 2 weeks will start to show what's going on there. Prajit says, what do you think about Hugo Larsson as the third midfielder? Too much of a prospect, mate. Too much of a prospect. Frankfurt didn't have a great season. He's still an interesting profile, but it's a hell of a jump. We had Casemiro. We can get Vinny J, says Keel. Tottenham for the league, no European football, says Alan. Would you take Enzo Fernandez, and how likely is that, says Scrap? Look, we spoke about Enzo Fernandez before anybody else. We spoke about Enzo Fernandez, you know, the morning after England got knocked out. I've seen a few people talking about it now. He's a marquee player, though. So surely that gets defeated by what we just spoke about. I don't mind Man United going for Enzo Fernandez. It would be controversial, but I don't mind it. But he's looking for the big wage and Chelsea are looking for the big fee, which rules him out. Controversial, but Vinny wouldn't do well in the Premier League. Not been a proper winger league for the last two seasons. Too much intensity and defensive teams, says Caleb. I think he'd tear it up, mate. I think he'd tear it up. You look at people like Semenyu. You look at Lasala the season before last. I think he'd tear it up in this league. We moan that Berarda and Wilcox don't communicate enough, but then they drop interviews like this. I'm not sure if I prefer silence, because some of what they say is pure unhelpful fantasy. Yeah, look, Emily, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I think about that, because they don't communicate enough. But you're right, when they talk shit. I mean, Berarda speaks about winning the league this year, and if not this year, next year. Based on what? And then Wilcox comes out with what he's talking about, and they live in a fantasy world. I think it borders on incompetence that they actually think these things, and they're running the club. I don't think they live in reality. I don't think they understand. I genuinely don't think they have a clue of what's going on. I'd prefer to be spoken to properly. I'd prefer to have a CEO or a director of football who comes out and says, look, it's challenging. We can't pay the prices Tottenham are paying. We have to operate within what we're operating in. And, you know, fans need to be realistic as to what is achievable. We obviously would love to win a Premier League title, but the way things are at the moment, you know, teams are outspending us. Teams are paying bigger wages. So we've got to try and box clever. We're not saying we can't win the league, but it's challenging. No, that's truth. Why do they lie? Why do they talk about winning big trophies? Why do they talk about winning the Premier League in the next year or two? It's not, I'd rather have the truth, but you know why they won't give us the truth? Because if they give the truth, then the money stops coming in. They have to lie about ambition to make you believe it. It's not authentic. Wilcox's statement after photobombing new signing, says Anthony. Vinny won't happen, just being realistic, mate, says Dude. Yeah, but I agree. You are being realistic, but the point is that not a reflection on where United are now? That as a fan base, we basically know we've got no chance of signing Vinicius Jr. There was a time when we could have done. Hi, Mark. Saw you talking about the season tickets, says S3BSM. Me and my dad have just been shifted from behind the away team's box to the opposite side, all because they earn £400 per ticket from hospitality seats. That is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. And, you know, many people have said for a long time, if we tolerate this, things will get worse. And the Glazers will just keep pushing the boundary because they'll get away with it. The only thing that shit the Glazers up was when that Liverpool game got called off. And
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Many people have said it before. I've said it before as well. You know, when you are in a situation where you don't like something and they betray a weakness and you expose a weakness, that's the weakness. And we have done nothing about that in the preceding, 6 years, 5 years? I can't remember how many years ago it was. The only way that's the only thing in the entirety of the Glazers being here. I mean, they don't care about Glazer out on X. They don't care about songs sung about them at Wembley. They don't care about any of that because it doesn't stop the money coming in. The only thing that scared them was when that game got cancelled because they feared that, you know, it costs them a lot of money. And that I think I'm right in saying that Joel Glazer straight away got on a fan forum to talk to fans. So we collectively we have failed as fans. And sadly, we just keep seeing these stories of how badly fans are treated. But they're isolated stories and nobody ever does anything about it. And we all have to take responsibility for that. I can see City doing it before United. Sadly, Glinios would not fork out for Vinny. We won't fork out for Somerville now, says Emily. Yeah, I completely agree. Signing Vinny is an opportunity for the ownership to gain the faith and trust of the fans, says Shahin. Exactly, and they won't do it. Owners play mediocrity, so we don't expect big moves, says Sound Dog. And Jam says, get him now. Take the number 7 shirt off Mount. Think of the shirt sales. United are a business. Oh, I'd fucking love to take the number 7 shirt off Mason Mount. Early seeds of Vinny's agent using us for a deal. Oh, yes, Steve. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think I need to mention the 5 strands of a transfer. Use Man United to get a new deal where you are. It worked for Tchouaméni, didn't it? We should prioritise a left back over left wing. We've got Dorgu, left wing, says Irish Beckham. Glinios would never... Well, you know, my biggest concern is, and it might be nothing... you raise a good point, Iris Beckham. My biggest concern is that I saw the team list for the game today and Dorgu was in as a defender. Now, I'm really worried about this and, you know, maybe keep this back for next season, this season coming up. Dorgu at a left back was being called dog shit. The fans were on his back. You know, Beth didn't like Dorgu at left back. A lot of people didn't. He got a load of shit at left back. When he went to the wing, fans loved him. I'm scared we're going to put him back to left back. The glazing of Dorgu has been him on the wing. That's where he has really been very exciting. If we're going to make him a left back and Rashford the winger so that we don't have to spend money, I worry. I really, really worry. Because we don't need a left back if Dorgu goes to left back. We don't need a winger if Rashford comes back. But for me, Dorgu's a winger and we need to sign a left back. And when he was at left back, got sent off, got exposed. And that, he wasn't even a left back, he was a left wing back. So imagine him as an specialist left back. I don't want Dorgu playing at left back. I think the fans will turn on him very quickly because the performances will drop. He's a winger. That's where he got the praise. That's where it works for me. Gideon, go and find somewhere else to talk. Glinius would never, no ambition, unfortunately, says Carlo. We should be fine with Bruno and Vinny G, maybe not league, but we should push Arsenal for sure, says Casey Gaming. Look, you know what? Arsenal look tired. Rice looks knackered. Saliba's out for 5 months. Mentally, they'll be very tired. Obviously, Arsenal are way better than us, but they could struggle this year. Happened to Liverpool. Man City have got a new manager. They bought Anderson. They've still got really good players, but they could struggle. If Arsenal and Man City drop off, who steps in? Now, I don't think it's going to be a team that's like the greatest Premier League side ever, but I think there could be a scramble for the title this year. And you want to be in that scramble, don't you? 25 years ago, we were fresh off winning the treble and challenging for the Premier League and Champions League titles. We've come a long way from that now, says Kia. Jack says another spin after Tchouaméni. The way Tchouaméni got his contract extension, his agents are like, if Tchouaméni got big wages by linking him to Man United, they're doing the same for Vinny. Made us believe we can get the deals, says Arshan. Thanks for being a member, Daniel and Brett. Appreciate you as well. And also, are you covering the preseason game today? Pock, we have been doing this for over 10 years. We've always covered preseason games, and we will be covering them again. I mean, the only sad thing about the preseason game today is that it's at 4 o'clock. I actually used to like the 3 a.m., 4 a.m. games in the USA. There was a good vibe. But then again, I probably had enough of those with the World Cup. So, yeah, we'll be live 4 p.m. today for the watch along. What I would say when it comes to preseason games, and because they're normally on at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, people who watch them will know, it's not finite tactical analysis. Like, we play a lot of shit teams. It's about fitness in legs, and it's about just having a look at some players. So, and you've got to be very careful about anybody who plays well, because playing well against Wrexham is not the same as playing well against Arsenal in the Premier League. So be careful of preseason Perlows. But my prediction for preseason Perlows is Xerxes and Mount, by the way. I'm telling you now, we are going to be awash over the next few weeks with people saying Mason Mount and Xerxes can actually be really important players for us. And the Glazers will be going like that. Preseason Perlow is a player that plays, a player that's not that good, who does really well in preseason, and fans start glazing them up. They're my two predictions. Just to clarify from yesterday, double-edged sword, said Red Boss, that idiom means a mix of good and bad outcomes, not two bad ones. John says we should get Luckman. He's insane. And United Way 7 says, why are we not looking at Stiller, who would also go for 50 million? Next summer, he'll only have 1 year left on his contract and Bayern will come knocking and we will watch him become the next Toni Kroos. Weird. I don't get it. I think, okay, the only thing I can say about Stiller is that I know Favel was interested in him around sort of February time, but it's just not been a story since then. Arena Nation World says our crew saw the third place England-Belgium in 2018 and it was the most soulless game at the World Cup. Do you think FIFA should scrap it in the future? I'm not watching it. I'll do an 8 o'clock show on here. I'm not watching that shit. I'm not interested in that. I just, it's not even a pre-season friendly, you know. I'd rather watch England play a friendly before the World Cup than a bag of shite at the end of it. It's just I mean, I don't know what's on the telly tonight, but I'd rather watch repeats of EastEnders. Absolute waste of time. Are United going for a left back or are they sticking with only Shaw? Well, they might. Well, that's, I was just saying there, Snugs. They might put Dorgu there. Pete Phillips says, I think they've got a self-inflicted salary cap for the squad. They'd obviously budgeted for Barca to keep their word and are now scrambling idiots. Would you take Enzo and how likely is he to be the secret midfield, says Scrat? I mean, I would take him. I don't think he's the secret midfielder because I think his wage demands and price would be very, very big. Just a couple of other bits to bring you this morning. Fabrizio Romano saying that Michael Carrick is ready and waiting to work with Rashford. He's ready to see his attitude and very keen to work with Rashford. But in case a big proposal arrives on the table, Man United will sanction an exit. I mean, I don't understand that update. Maybe I'm a bit thick. It can happen. But I don't understand that update. Because to me, that is pure, let's make everybody happy. So if you want Rashford back, you've got Carrick's excited to have him back. And if you want him to be sold, you've got Man United will sell him if the price is right. It's like, it's a typical United brief to, well, in this case, Romano. Let's make everybody happy. So Carrick's really excited to have him back. The Rashford gang are like, yeah. If they get a decent offer, they'll sell him. And the ones who want him out are going, come on. You know, it doesn't even make any bloody sense. I mean, if I was Rashford, I'd look at it and go, that doesn't make any sense. So Carrick wants me back, but you'll sell me if you get a price. So what am I then? It's either Carrick and the club are going to keep him and he's not going to get sold, or he's coming back to train and we'll sell him. It's one or the other. We're Manchester United. Like, this is a big season. Rashford coming back is a big thing. Is he coming back to stay or is he coming back to be sold? I mean, the season starts in less than a month. Is he coming back to stay or is he going to be sold? It's really simple. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. To me, it's like, come back and see how you feel. And even if you're good, we'll still sell you if someone wants you. I mean, what if he comes back and he's shit and no one wants to buy him? We're keeping him now. It's almost contradictory. If you come back and do really well, somebody will want to buy you and you can go. If you come back and you do really shit, well, we'll just keep you. I mean, that how does that benefit Man United? Like, I don't get it. And I also don't get where he fits into the team either. Because, like, if Sesko's not fit for the start of the season, you could play Rashford up front. But we all know Rashford up front doesn't work. It doesn't work unless you're hitting long balls. And then when Sesko comes back, is Sesko sitting on the bench for Rashford? Or if we put Rashford on the wing, are we benching Dorgu and Cunha? Because there's no starting place for Cunha. Or is Cunha going up front till Sesko comes back and then Sesko's back on the bench? How are we accommodating Rashford? Because you can't stick a player on 300 grand a week on the bench. The media, and I tell you what, Michael Carrick's English. If he doesn't understand the British media, I'd be stunned. You bring Rashford back, you can't sit him on the bench. You are going to get asked about it. I mean, we're not stupid. When Rashford was at the club, whether he was playing or not, every manager from Ollie to Ten Hag to Amrim got asked about Rashford every press conference. So you put an inexperienced coach in a press conference and you put Marcus Rashford back in the squad next season, every bloody press conference is going to be about Rashford, whether he's starting or not. So do you want that noise? Do you want that pressure? Do you want to be Solskjaer and put, you know, bet your house on a player and lose your career over it? I mean, I think this is massively naive by Carrick to think that he knows better than everybody else. And he's got no CV to back it up either. I think if Carrick tries to integrate Rashford back into that team, and this is a 28-year-old Rashford as well, who's 29 in 3 months. I mean, I don't think we're ever getting 23-year-old Rashford back again. So I don't know how this works. I don't know how this works. And I don't blame Rashford, by the way. He's got a 2-year contract and nobody wants to buy him at the moment. But from a Man United point of view, it's full of holes. It really is. I think it's going to be an absolute nightmare the second he comes back for him, for us and the club, because the media are just going to make it. It's going to be Rashford United. This is why I always said I don't think it's good for him, us or the club to bring him back, because you can't control the media. Talk Sport every bloody day are going to be we'll be talking about it. It's just going to be a constant story and a constant distraction. And I don't know. It's a couple of years since I've seen Rashford play in a Man United shirt, and I don't know what he can offer anymore. I don't know. But to be honest with you, going back to what Romano said, I don't necessarily know he's coming back anyway. Carrick's excited to see him coming back, but if there's an offer come in, they'll sell him. You know what? I'd like the club to make their mind up. Is he coming back and is he staying, or is he coming back and going to get sold? Because I think when we understand that, we can deal with the conversation, you know? Nusa from Leipzig's the player we should be going for, Libbers. I mean, I'm always glad to talk about these things at the end of the show, but Nusa is the player we should be signing. 100%. Forget Vinny J, forget keeping Rashford. Nusa is the talent. Nusa is the player we should be signing. That's the player we should get that someone else is going to get, and we're going to go, we should have got him. Like, Nusa is the player to go and get. I'm absolutely convinced he will leave Leipzig. Maybe not this summer, but maybe probably next summer. And he's going to be a revelation somewhere. I don't know why we're not looking at him. I mean, fucking Favel literally is trying to model us on Leipzig. He's exactly the player we should go for. I've been saying it for a very, very long time. But there is nothing about United going for him. And I tell you what, if they bought Vinicius Jr., I'd applaud the club. If they bought Nusa, I'd also applaud the club. I think he's perfect for United, but we're just nowhere near doing that deal. Nowhere near doing it. It's not even on the agenda. It's not been mentioned. Perfect for Manchester United. Only 21. Not going to be 22 until next April. Absolutely perfect. We've seen the confidence and maturity in the RB Leipzig shirt and in a Norway shirt. Absolutely perfect. And nothing. Nothing. The only thing about Nusa I've heard is Arsenal. I mean, I saw a story here that Roma reach agreement with Nusa, talks ongoing. Arsenal want to sign in with a £34 million bid. I mean, what the fuck? What the fuck? I don't know. Rashford's an easy target for the media to create chaos around the team and Carrick, whether it's good or bad. I don't think either need that. No, Patrick, look, it's very difficult to criticise Marcus when he's not been here for 18 months. I think he's very unlucky not to get the Barcelona move, but we have to be realistic. You know as well as I do that he will be the story and he will get a lot of focus on him. And I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Yaya Touré coaches my hometown club. He says the most important is the dressing room and not one player can be problematic. He already moved two players on, says David. Well, look, one thing I would say about the dressing room is it's a lot better. Amrim sort of started that off and Carrick has continued it on. People like Casemiro, Bruno, Harry Maguire have had a big impact on that dressing room. You bring the wrong characters into that dressing room, it's a problem. And I'm not saying Rashford's the wrong character, but he's a big character. He's the biggest earner with Bruno. You know, you walk in that dressing room, you are a leader, whether you want to be or not. And, you know, we've been there before. Is it the right thing to do? Is it the wrong thing to do? I don't know. Owners like the fact that the Rashford distraction takes the spotlight, says JSD. Would you take Shader up for left wing? Look, Razzler, I think Shader up looks like a good player, but there's a story about Shader up where he was in court that I think would be a problem for Man United. Do you think it's Rashford's agent pushing it, says Mech? No, I think Man United are pushing this. Man United are pushing the return of Rashford. I mean, that's why it's been told to Romano. Would rather get Hall and Somerville than Vinny, even if it was possible. A single player won't win us the league and we need squad depth for Europe, says Les. Mount's probably going to cover the left wing and the centre midfield. This Dorgu plays left back. Ineos savers on both positions. To this day, I don't understand why Mount was bought, says Jacob. You can watch the third place for a laugh with us, says John. I ain't watching it. Would you take Bertolino from Coma? He can play on the left and in the midfield. He would cost around 30 million. No. I want Nusa, Antal. Would you rather have Liao or Rashford, provided we do a swap deal or something similar? Also, Liao would definitely not have the high wage problem. Can convince Milan with a swap. United Way 7, I don't rate Liao. I don't want Liao. There's just something about Liao that worries me. I wouldn't go there. I really wouldn't. I think you've got to do as many deals as you can that make you feel excited, not deals that make you feel, ooh, I don't know whether this is going to work. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in this morning. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Remember, we are back at about 3:30 today with a watch along. So we've got a watch along and a match reaction, which feels a little bit weird, but is also exciting. I'm looking forward to watching Santos. I'm looking forward to seeing. Look, things I'm not looking forward to: Maguire, Shaw, Xerxes, Mount. Seen it all before. I don't learn anything. What I'm excited about is if Vitek plays in goal. Santos, Gorth, Waite, Debeney, Lacey, Obi, hopefully, if he plays. That's what I'm excited to see. Some of these younger players have got an opportunity to go and get a decent loan deal. Some of them could be part of our plans next season. You know, Santos is a new signing. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Also, people like Yoro, who I think need a big season, Dorgu as well. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Make sure you tune in. We'll be live for our first watch along of the season at 4 p.m. kickoff UK time. Stay safe. Make sure you subscribe on the video, subscribe to the channel, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks for watching.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.